It's the great Dante Read Through.
It's the great Dante Read Through, where we are reading through all of the comic strip, The Adventures of Nicolai Dante. Co-created by Robbie Morrison and Simon Fraser from the weekly science fiction anthology comic, 2000 AD.
I'm Simon Fraser.
And I'm Edie Nugent, freelance writer and Simon's wife. Join us as we swashbuckle our way through the Russian Empire of the future. Warning, there will be spoilers. We will be talking in depth about these comics, so if you haven't read them yet, listen at your own risk. To join our book club and read along with us, go to shop.2000ad.com to pick up the books in hard copy or digital.
Today we're reading The Romanov Job, found in Progs 1280 to 1287.
Hi, Simon.
Hey, Edie.
And hello, irregulars, and hello. Welcome back to the Great Dante Read-Through.
Great Dante Read-Through.
So we are reading The Romanov Job today. So who wrote it? Who drew it? Who lettered it?
Well, it's written by Robbie Morrison, and of course, it's drawn by me, Simon Fraser.
Yay.
And it is colored by Gary Caldwell, and letters are by Annie Parkhouse.
Fantastic.
Indeed.
All right. So let's dig in. We open on the Contessa de Winter leading a handcuffed Dante to an astonished captain who asks how she managed to capture him. And she responds, "How do you think?" Looking incredibly good.
Yeah, being foxy with her outfit.
Okay.
This is, I should point to note at this point, is that this is, I think, the first time Gary Caldwell had ever used a computer. He was been up to that point. He'd been coloring using airbrushing and just airbrushing, basically Frisket and airbrushing, old school, onto paper. And I think he just lived in a cloud of like sticky Frisket and masking fluid. So I basically said, "You need to get a computer, dude. This is ridiculous." And he agreed with me, and we worked out what he should get and how to do it. And I got him a copy of Photoshop, and we did all that stuff. And yeah, this is the first time he did that. He did a great job considering he's like starting from nothing. I mean, really, really.
That's amazing.
Because
it had to be so different for him from he was airbrushing it before watercoloring.
The thing is, I mean, the coloring on a computer is actually not that different from airbrushing. If you understand airbrushing, you understand masking. So selections, you understand.
But just using the user interface, I feel like, is weird.
Yeah, well, Gary's a smart guy. Right. And he picks it up
very
quickly.
That's true, he is.
And he picked it up very quickly. There's a few things I kind of think are a little too much. There's a texture thing he used here, which I think is kind of a little bit heavy-handed. On the ground, it looks like some kind of like sort of textured wallpaper thing. It's too much, but you know, generally speaking, he hit the ground running, did a great job.
Go Gary.
Yep.
So she's looking incredibly sexy. I actually really like the coloring on her in this page. The sort of green and hat and gloves and her little like sort of, I don't know, what would you call that? Terracotta, sort of pinkish coat.
I'd say so, terracotta.
Yeah, she looks good. And her, you know, I love a woman in riding pants, you know, with the high boots.
Jodhpurs.
They look so good.
Yeah.
They look really good on a sexy lady, you know what I'm saying?
And the pistol on her waist, I think, is an early revolving pistol. I can't remember what it's called. But I have a book of ancient
weaponry. You don't remember what the pistol's called,
Simon? I don't remember
what
it's called. I know. I drew it. It's a really early revolving pistol, so it's got four shots in the barrel. Obviously, it's not. It just looks like that, but because it's the future. But anyway, I decided to give her an interesting gun.
Okay. Well, okay. So there's a voiceover from Dante himself here. Yes.
Oh, my God. That's a new one.
It says, "I ought to know. Excuse me. The garters killed more men than the gallows. I ought to know. I've twanged enough knicker elastic to fire myself to the moon and back."
Well, there you go.
Nicolai Dante, 2677.
That implies
this is the first time he's quoting himself, yes.
Is this the first time? Does this imply that Nicolai Dante actually wrote something?
It also implies that he lives that long.
Oh, that's true.
Like, if Nicolai Dante's being quoted 6 years from now,
2677.
It kind of ruins the whole, I mean, spoiler alert, it sort of ruins the end of this story.
Fair point.
I mean, not that we ever really think he's just going to die in the middle of the series.
It seems unlikely.
You know, especially not in a sort of rompy story. Mm-hmm. If Dante's going to die, it's not going to be a romp.
This is a heist story.
This is clearly, I mean, it's the Romanov job, so.
Yes, it's a heist.
Yes.
We're riffing on the Italian job here, clearly.
Yes.
Because, you know, great movie.
Because why not?
Yeah.
If you're going to steal from the best.
Indeed.
I noticed here it seemed like your art style shifted a little bit here. There's something kind of different about the way you're drawing.
Okay, this is part of my artistic evolution, if that doesn't sound too pretentious. I was trying to get a bit more of a kind of bouncy light style because we've been doing the war for a while and it was very heavy and intense. So I was trying to go back to this kind of like quick pen strokes, which I'd been doing earlier on. But I kind of like, I was trying to do Dante a bit more seriously, so I moved away from the Pickwick pen strokes, and I thought, no, I'll go back to that because this job is supposed to be a bit more lighthearted and a bit more frivolous. So I thought that would suit the style a bit better. I'm not sure about it in retrospect. I'm not 100%.
I like it.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay. I mean, I was trying something different.
I think it looks a little more traditional comic booky than you normally do.
I think the colouring makes a big difference to that too. The colouring is much more kind of like bright and poppy, and there's a lot of kind of airbrush highlights. So that kind of makes it go that way a bit more. If I'm doing colouring, I tend to do low lights rather than highlights. Highlights are very, very rare. If you're doing a colouring job in general, you use very, very sparing amount of highlights. Otherwise, everything just like goes too glitzy and shiny looking. Everyone looks like they're made of plastic. And that's what Gary's doing here, which is, you know, fine. He's learning on the job. But I will tend to go more with low lights rather than highlights. But anyway.
Interesting. Well, I did notice it. Mm-hmm. The captain offers the Contessa double her money if she takes imperial bonds or puts the money in a bank of her choice. The Contessa declines.
I don't imagine there's a bank she hasn't robbed yet.
She likes to live off the grid. Exactly.
No paper trail.
Warns the captain that Dante can be tough to hold on to as she turns him over. And the captain says it's a matter of personal honor for him to hang on to Dante. And my eyes immediately dropped to the captain's nameplate on his uniform
of
the minute
course.
He said that.
Arbatov.
Because I knew before I saw it, it's going to say Arbatov.
Of course.
So Dante and the captain relive his recent transgressions against the House of Arbatov. Mm-hmm. That's 3 killed, 1 virtually castrated. So that's the answer to that story we saw.
Sure.
Slept with three of his sisters in one night.
Mm-hmm.
And the captain punches Dante flat.
Mm-hmm.
The Contessa kisses him deeply before he's led aboard an Imperial gunship that makes for the Imperial Palace.
Yeah, a little bit of tongue showing here, which is a giveaway, frankly.
Is it a giveaway?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Of course it is. The passionate kiss, right? Is
indeed.
Not just when a kiss is not just a kiss.
Indeed.
What's interesting is they call this gunship he's getting on, they call it the gunship Gorky to the mm-hmm. Imperial Palace. And I thought all the Gorkys, like, went to the Irregulars in the war. Is that the Groznys
No, it's Groznys, yeah. Gorky is a reference to Maxim Gorky, who's a famous Russian poet.
Okay.
As in Gorky Park.
That's right. You said that before on this podcast. Yeah. I remember. Yeah. So we're treated to an ugly scene below the gunship as mm-hmm. it flies away, mm-hmm. by the way. The townspeople are looking shabby, and a man is cutting into a horse to eat, mm-hmm. whose leg is already missing. So he's mm-hmm. like cutting into like more of the horse to eat.
This is just playing on some very stereotyped Russian imagery.
But I'm wondering, Russian where are they refugees. Right now? Do we know where they are?
St. Petersburg. Returning to St. Petersburg.
Okay.
So this is somewhere
where
outside.
Is this? This is outside of St. Petersburg. Mm-hmm. But basically the common folk are still not doing well post-war, mm-hmm. is what we see here.
Yeah.
Then Captain Arbatov, number 5, tells his mm-hmm. officer to report to the Tsar that Dante needed roughing up after an escape attempt so that he can at least beat the crap out of Dante before handing him off mm-hmm. to the Tsar. We all know he wants to actually kill Dante, but mm-hmm. his office prevents him. So in Dante's holding cell, the captain starts laying into him. But as he's distracting by his officer questioning his methods, Dante spits out a key mm-hmm. that the Contessa obviously kissed into his mouth earlier and unlocks his shackles.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He strangles the captain and slams his face into the retinal scanner and frees himself.
Mm-hmm.
He slams on the emergency release lever on the gunship, and the crew and Dante are sucked out into the sky.
Yeah. Another incidence of Dante just hurling himself into the abyss and hoping for the best, which always seems to work out for him.
Yeah, it does. I mean, I guess that's a lesson for life, right? Just go for it. Face your fears.
If that fear is plummeting 2,000 feet to the ground, yes, then just go ahead. Just go ahead. It'll be good. Great experience. Short, but great.
Yes. As Dante falls to his death, along comes the Contessa on a chess horse to scoop him up mid-fall.
Yeah.
And back in the Imperial Palace in St. Petersburg, the Tsar is understandably questioning why Captain Arbatov's officer reported Dante having been beaten with an inch of his life. Meanwhile, he was somehow able to cause the deaths of, like, an entire gunship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just killed, like, four people.
It's true.
And escape.
Mm-hmm.
So the Tsar has no time for this foolery from Arbatov 5.
Mm-hmm.
And basically laughs Jenna down when she offers to try and capture Nikolai herself.
Yeah.
Who will step up to rid the Tsar of this troublesome rogue?
And then we have a silhouette who volunteers. Here he is.
Who is this but Captain Luther Emmanuel?
Yeah, and those who know British comics will know who we're riffing off here.
Britannia Military Intelligence.
Yeah.
And this was my question. Who is this guy based on? Very clearly based on something.
Oh, it's Luther Arkwright. It's based on Brian Talbot's Luther Arkwright character.
Okay.
Who is in turn based on Jerry Cornelius, I think, which is
Jerry Cornelius?
A character from Michael Moorcock's novels.
Oh,
I have not
Moorcock.
Read them, so I can't tell. But anyway,
okay.
It's a long succession of homages, shall we say.
Okay. So anyway, Captain Luther kisses Jenna's hand and tells her that she shouldn't lower herself to hunting a common outlaw. And I'm kind of like, a little too late. She definitely lowered herself where Dante's concerned.
There's been some serious lowering
going on
there.
There's been some lowering and raising and lowering and raising. But in any event, apparently Captain Luther's record is unimpeachable.
Mm-hmm.
And to prove just that, Captain Luther tells Arbatov 5 to run.
Mm-hmm.
And when he doesn't, he explodes his kneecaps with his mind.
Yeah, he seems to be some kind of telekinetic.
Breaking his neck with his mind.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a carry situation.
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
Some kind of telekinetic soldier character, swashbuckler, freebooter, who knows?
Very powerful telekinetics if he's breaking people's necks with it.
Mm-hmm.
His necks are not easy to break. The movies would have you believe otherwise, but it is tough to break someone's neck.
Yeah, well, I mean, who knows? Who knows what's going on here?
The Tsar is impressed with this display, and the captain says, while Dante may have luck on his side in evading capture, he himself has fate on his side. And I have no idea what that means.
Who knows?
Is it just a thing that, like,
sounds impressive.
Right. If you want to impress people, you just sort of toss it out
there. He's bribe the croupier.
What?
If he's gambling, if he's got fate on his side, he's...
What was that? Were you just speaking French there?
Croupier. So someone who deals cards at a casino.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not familiar with this term.
No?
No.
Okay. You've not read Casino Royale?
I have not read Casino Royale.
Ah, well, there you go.
There you are.
It's where all my gambling knowledge comes from.
Though I have been by the casino in Monaco. Right?
Yeah,
isn't that where it's meant to be?
No, it's Casino Royale is based on another. It's another casino. It's a different town. I forget the name of it, but it's
another French gambling town.
Yeah, there's a town. It's a very specific place and a very specific time.
A lot of gambling in France. I didn't know.
Yeah, it's based on who's his name? It's based on real experience by Ian Fleming.
Oh, okay.
Who apparently did actually gamble for his country and lost.
Ooh.
During the war.
Oh.
He took it on himself to try and bankrupt some local Nazis and completely failed.
Oh, no.
And then thought, this will make a great story about a spy, which he wasn't really at the time. And then he went away and wrote the Casino Royale, which is the first Bond book.
Wow.
Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
Sorry, that's a big digression.
That's very digression, but it's
anyway,
interesting.
So, more Bondy action because we've got some seduction happening.
Yes. Well, meanwhile...
Mm-hmm.
Our anti-hero is dining somewhere with a nice view,
mm-hmm.
both out the window and in the form of the Contessa de Winter, in a fetching pink bustier and thong combination with some black stockings.
Can I just say, I used to own these chairs that they're sitting on.
I thought
these
you were
going to
say you owned those stockings.
I do not own those stockings, sadly. Though we can talk about that.
Christmas
is coming up. But I did own those chairs. In Kenya, I had one of those chairs.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
the black iron rod?
Yeah, they were made by local fundis, which is like local craftspeople. And I had one.
That's
it was
very
great.
Cool.
And I wish I could have kept it because it
nice
was
chairs.
Rather large, difficult to move around, but it was great.
So,
and the advantage of it in this case is you can see through it
before you can see her cheeks.
You can see her butt.
You got to see her cheeks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very good.
This whole scene, of course, is a metaphor.
It is. They're eating fruit suggestively and dessert suggestively at each other.
Yes.
Before Dante suggestively pops a champagne bottle and they jump across the table to ravish each other.
Mm-hmm.
I like how he gets the back of his thumb hooked in her thong
garter belt,
he's jumping. It's like a nice little detail.
Mm-hmm.
You always kind of have Dante sort of getting his fingers in places.
Yeah.
I appreciate that attention to detail.
Grabbing, yeah.
He's a fondly guy.
He is.
But just as they're getting into it, the wall explodes mm-hmm. for reasons, I guess.
Not quite the bang I was expecting, says Nicolai Dante.
And in walks a large Santa Claus with a shaved off beard looking fellow. Shouting that Dante should come to Papa.
There you go.
Apparently this is his godfather.
He
refers to himself as Dante's godfather, and he's flanked by a number of sort of shadowy goons.
Mm-hmm. So this is Papa Yeltsin, who we've heard of before, who's been mentioned a couple of times, I believe, but we've never actually seen him.
And here he is.
Here he is, as large as life.
So Papa seems to enjoy that Dante is back in the thieving business and appreciates how he enjoys his spoils, meaning mm-hmm. the Contessa and all the luxury that is surrounding them at the moment. And I love this line from the Contessa to Dante. You seem to have a certain disreputable influence on everyone you meet.
Well, he comes from a family of, I mean, the whole thing is his mom's a career criminal.
I know.
And
I just love
obviously
that.
He's raised in the thieves world, Vorovsky Mir, which is, I think that's how you pronounce it, which is kind of the whole contention of this story is that the idea of the Russian thieves world where, a man who could make his way in life.
Yeah. But I mean, that's all very literate, but I just really like the line.
It's good.
I kind of like write that on my tombstone, you know, had a disreputable influence on everyone she met. It's like a good epitaph. So one of Papa's goons has a large water cooler sized vat on his back.
Of vodka.
Filled with vodka.
Written on the back there, vodka, literally written in the Cyrillic alphabet, vodka.
And a skull and crossbones.
Yep. It's good stuff.
And he dispenses this vodka into beer steins from a gas pump hose.
Because that's how it works.
Was that written in, or did you just decide to do that with the gas pump?
I don't think it was written as a gas pump, but it was certainly written as some kind of spigot.
You literally have like the little like valve at the back that needs to turn on.
It's like a gas. And it's those mugs, the big...
the big steins.
The big liter steins. Yeah. I have those. I still have them, actually.
We have one in the cabinet.
We have one. Used to have two.
Aww.
I bought them when I lived in Vienna because my brother was visiting and I knew there would be a lot of drinking involved.
Mm-hmm.
So I bought two of them and they were, I think, originally branded Pilsner Urquell. But it's all worn off over the years because I've had them so long. But there's only one left because one of them broke. So
the lone survivor.
It's a survivor of my time in Austria.
I didn't know. It's featured in the comics.
Lot of my personal belongings feature in the comics because they're there and they're accessible.
So you can use it as a reference?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got that mug there. I've got a lot of odd bits of glassware acquired through the years.
So anyway, they all start drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And a voiceover explains that Papa is Papa Yeltsin, who gained control of the illegal vodka trade and is the unofficial godfather of thieves. So there's the godfather. Everybody's godfather.
Imagine controlling the illegal vodka trade in Russia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it seems like a very profitable... Okay.
So the next couple of pages, I should say, there's some history with them. If anybody offers you versions of these pages to buy, and they look a lot like these pages, but they're not quite the same...
Oh, no.
They are stolen goods, because I have a long history of things getting stolen in Paris. I've lived all around the world, and I've lived in some fairly disreputable places, but the only place I've ever had things stolen is in Paris. And specifically near, I think it was Gare du Nord in this case.
Really?
Yeah.
Train station?
The train station. It's always train stations. I've had a couple of things stolen. And in this case, I had a very nice brand new portfolio case, which I had just bought. And inside it, there was a couple of pages of Dante artwork, and including these, the next three or four pages, I think. Yeah, the three or four pages I had to redraw very quickly because they were stolen. So if anyone offers you these pages... or some very similar pages. They're not exactly the same, but they're very similar.
Get in touch.
I would love to know what happened to them.
We'll reward you in some way.
Yeah, I know. I'd be fascinated to know how they've traveled, or if anyone just dumped. Presumably, just somebody dumped them in the Seine
because recognize them. Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, that was my adventures traveling with Nicolai Dante.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And for the record, we're drinking Highland Park tonight.
Oh, okay. Yes. You just wanted to mention the whiskey.
Yes, I would mention the whiskey.
Do you want to mention thing, what kind of Highland Park?
Highland Park,
it's
an Ingvar, which is a special release in the Taiwanese duty-free.
Airport, yeah.
Yeah, it's...
Airport release.
It's interesting, but it's not great.
Yeah.
Frankly.
Not our favorite Highland Park that
no,
we've had.
No, not really. No, I love Highland Park. It's one of my favorites, but this is not one of the best.
Mm. Sorry. But still enjoyable.
Listen, it's still good.
Yeah.
I'm just quibbling here, really.
You know.
We have high standards.
You know, it's like a, you know, bad single malt is like bad pizza. Even when it's bad, it's good, you know?
I don't know about that, because bad pizza could be horrible.
It's a colloquialism.
Is it?
Yes.
I see. Okay.
Maybe it's an American thing, I guess.
Probably.
In any event, they used to, I think they said, like, bad pizza is like bad sex. Even when it's bad, it's good. Like, you're still happy you're doing it, even
really?
If it's not. Yeah.
Okay. I suppose.
At the end of the day, you're still eating pizza. You're still having
sex.
So it's a
good day. Racking
my
brains for bad sexual experiences, and it's like, that's pretty bad.
In any event, so after some penis measuring banter over several rounds of vodka, which is apparently how Papa likes to kill people by forcing them to drink themselves to death, Papa explains that Dante and the Contessa owe him a debt because their thieving shenanigans have caused the Tsar to go extra hard on crime, which is cutting into his profits.
Yeah.
So they owe him. And they can pay him back by pulling off the heist of the millennium for him.
There you go.
So they still care about the millennium celebrations in 2671. It's cute.
I wonder if they had Y2K problems as well.
Oh, no. Anyways, Dante agrees while sloppily drunk and slurs that his name is Dickolai Nante. So yes. Dickolai is back.
Dickolai is back.
Yes. I mean, he's been back a lot, you know. He can't escape his true, you know, Dickolai nature, but it's nice to hear him name it.
It's true.
It's nice. So Dante is then later in bed sleeping off a hangover when Papa says off panel that a kiss will awaken Sleeping Beauty, and Dante wakes up and Papa is on the other end of the bed. So what was he kissing? He's not kissing Dante's face. We can see Dante's face.
I don't know.
What's he kissing?
Who knows?
Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, I like my lovers awake, Papa says. But do you? Because like, where were you just kissing him? He was very much asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently the Contessa skedaddled from bed to allow Papa to wiggle his way in, leading Dante to say he doesn't know half the time if the Contessa wants to kiss him or kill him.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of your MO with all your women, Dante, right? Like, haven't you noticed?
He likes them dangerous.
He does. I mean, I was racking my brain trying to think of a single woman we've seen him with who like hasn't at some point tried to kill him. And I could not, I could maybe think of one, Ingrid.
Oh, yeah, angry, but she ended up dead.
Yeah,
so,
she ended up, yeah. See
that
what
went
happens?
Well for her.
That's like the exception that proves the rule, you know?
Nice earthy palette here, by the way, for the coloring.
Yeah,
good,
it looks
good. Good work, Gary.
But I do love this line from Papa that heterosexual harmony doesn't exist. That's good. Dante rejects Papa's subsequent offer to show him an alternative lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And Dante is like, I'm too hungover to swing both ways.
Which implies that if he isn't hungover, he might.
Yeah, I mean, I would say Dante is his most boring when he's relentlessly heteros. But I like your read of it. That if he wasn't so like out of it, like maybe he'd be game for it.
I think I said this before on this very podcast that Robbie has said that if we were doing this again, that Dante would be more liberal with his sexual
favors.
It makes
sense.
Yeah, it does.
It doesn't
totally
make sense that he would be prudish about anything sexual.
He should be more more free thinking.
Yes. But anyway, Papa ushers Dickolai in to meet the team that Papa has assembled to pull off this heist of the millennium he was talking about.
So I'm gonna
read our intros here for our different characters.
Sure.
We have Abel Gans the Tarantula, Antichrist, Assassin, and all-around master
anarchist.
Criminal.
Anarchist, no Antichrist.
Oh, Antichrist.
that's
a different story.
That's an advanced level of criminal.
The anarchist.
So Abel Gance, of course, is the famous director, French director, who did the eight-hour Napoleon.
Okay. And he's wearing sort of an exoskeleton that looks a little bit like Doc Ock. He's got, but it's like tarantula legs, so they're sort of sharp.
Yeah.
It's not really a tarantula. There are only like four of them that I see, so that's not really.
He's got two legs and two arms himself, so that
makes
it eight.
Oh, I see. Yeah. His own limbs are part of it. Very good.
Yep.
So Janos Starek.
Yeah, that's a reference to a character, a British comic character.
Okay, escapologist extraordinaire. The fortress that can keep him in or out hasn't been built yet.
Indeed.
Then Yelena Solaris, the Panther, scourge of the aristocracy.
Catwoman, basically.
Yeah, she's...
Catwoman.
She looks good. She's in some leather pants and a leather crop top, and she's looking good.
Yep.
And she... then we see Grushko Creel, the... Well, you only need to look at Creel to know what his specialty is.
And he's brandishing... That's a reference to Crusher Creel.
From...
He's the Parasite, I think, Grusher Creel.
The Parasite?
The Parasite or something, something, I can't remember. Grusher Creel.
From what?
It's a comic character. He's a Superman bad dude.
Okay.
I'm not sure I remember that right. Maybe a Spider-Man. Anyway.
Okay.
You can remind me. By all means, feel superior and remind me of my
well, anyway, Grushko is brandishing a large axe.
Historical knowledge, yes.
Okay.
He is.
And while Dante...
angry.
Yes, and while Dante is gazing adoringly at Yelena, who seems to fancy a bit of Dante herself, suddenly Grushko wields his axe at Dante, shouting, "Bastard!" And the Contessa shoots him dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get a funny gag on the next page. Papa says to Dante, "I take it you've met Grushko before?" And Dante's like, "Who knows? I can't keep track of everyone I piss off." I really liked that.
Fair.
Papa then explains that they're going to heist the Romanov family jewels, not meaning Dante's undercarriage, which he gropes unconsensually.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that, but I suppose it's Dante's just desserts for all the ass he's grabbed without asking.
Yeah.
We don't ever figure out where this voiceover is coming from, I don't think. But there's a bunch of VO that narrates how Yelena and the Contessa managed to break into the impregnable Putin missile complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate that that guy is still relevant in 2671. Ugh.
Who'd have thought it?
Yeah. So our thieving ladies break sexily in to the missile complex and disarm the guards at the control center. Yelena says she's never partnered with a woman before, and between her short haircut and those leather pants, I beg to differ. I'm not convinced that this is the first time she's partnering with a woman, but anyway.
Yep. Listen, they look like they're having fun.
Anyway, they disable the missile launch system and send missiles after an Imperial gunship that is carrying the Romanov jewels, damaging their engine and leading them to crash into a giant spider web that's been set up. Dante and Janos Staric zip inside the trapped gunship, what's left of it, wearing like little rocket packs or something.
Looks like it.
What do they have on their backs there? You designed
some
these.
Some kind of rocket pack things.
They're kind of funny looking.
Yeah, some kind of rocket
like
pack.
They don't have jets like you normally would see. But
yeah, well, it's anti-grav of some kind.
I see. Okay, anti-grav. Got it.
It's magic.
And Janos gives Dante a little speech about how his contortionist parents had a famous sex show.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for reasons?
I don't know.
I guess he's proud of them. He's just telling strangers about it.
Who knows?
It's
a Heisenberg vault, utterly impregnable to the common thief. I, however, am an outstanding thief.
So there you go.
Does that mean there's uncertain? There's some kind of uncertainty involved?
There's an uncertainty principle with the...
Is there a cat in it? What's going on? Is that
that'd be a Schrodinger vault.
Excuse me.
It's both.
Yeah.
And as they descend into the hull of the gunship, out pops a well-dressed man with an interesting little soul patch on his chin, claiming to be Ivan Gennett, finest swordsman in the Empire. And he gives a whole speech about how it's the honor of his life to kill Dante, and Dante just whips out the huntsman and shoots him.
Of course.
Which is very Indiana Jones of him.
Yeah.
That's what we're seeing here.
Would that be the finest swordsman in the Empire after the last one I killed? I think Dante's... You can feel a sort of sense of ennui about Dante right now. He just does look like he's just, like, going through the motions.
Yawn.
There we go again.
Meanwhile, our contortionist has slithered into the walls of the gunship, or the safe by the gunship, and undoes the lock somehow to the vault. And the vault pops open to reveal a small Aladdin's cave of treasures.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like there should be more here. These are the Romanov family jewels. It doesn't look like much.
It takes a long time to draw.
It's like wars are expensive.
Oh, well, listen. Sorry, I know.
It just is that they're like, what is there, like less than 10 gold bars in a pile?
It was a tough war. It was expensive. Wars are expensive.
All
those spaceships cost money.
There you go. Just then, some Romanov officers set upon the pair, and our tarantula man shows up to stab them with his sharp metal legs.
Mm-hmm.
And the heist was over in 10 minutes. I guess the VO has been Captain Luther reporting to the Tsar the whole time. That's where this... We were just getting voiceover for like pages and pages with no source, but
yeah,
I guess it
seems to be him.
It's Captain Luther reporting to the Tsar. And we're cutting to Luther and the Tsar having some wine over dinner and like calmly talking about tightening the noose around Luther's prey. So I guess the whole thing is a trap.
Yeah, those wine glasses, by the way, I used to own those too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, they look nice.
Don't know what happened to them. Mm. I think they... Who knows?
So then we cut to the island of Sakhalin, Russia.
Mm-hmm.
A large spiky fortress where our heist team sits listening to a happy hologram of Papa Yeltsin congratulating them on the heist.
Mm-hmm.
That's not at all foreboding that he's not actually there. Papa tells them to sit tight, quote, protected by his goons,
mm-hmm.
while Papa negotiates a buyer for the jewels so he can pay them all out. So then they're just kind of hanging out. And later, Nikolai is just sort of chilling with a glass of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And
the goons are trying to be intimidating and failing.
Yeah, they are failing mightily to be intimidating. Mm-hmm. But I guess they're all tired from the heist because they're just chilling, waiting to get paid. And the Contessa throws a knife by Dante's head and announces that she's bored.
Mm-hmm.
And Dante, for some reason, doesn't feel like jumping her. She's like there in kind of her underwear, and he's just like, meh.
He's got a big glass of brandy.
Yeah, he's into the brandy.
He's just enjoying his moment.
He's taking a moment.
I don't know. He's off his game.
Yeah, he is
he's
off his game.
He's feeling his the accumulation of experiences and.
So that whole scene with eating the dessert suggestively was almost him kind of like trying to push it too much.
Overcompensating.
Yeah, it seemed a little bit too broad.
Too forced.
Yeah, forced.
Mm-hmm.
In any event, Yelena comes into the room wearing some lovely silk PJs with the top flapping open and starts making out with the Contessa.
I have to find a pair like that.
Yeah.
Oh.
You do owe me PJs.
That's
but,
true.
But that was for the cotton anniversary, so these are silk. This is a different...
What is silk anniversary?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay.
Is there a silk
anniversary? For research purposes, we'll find out.
But thank you. I appreciate it. They are lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And she starts making out with the Contessa, explaining that they've discovered their kindred spirits.
Presumably that means innate bisexuality?
I mean, I guess. Hmm. I mean, that's interesting. I didn't actually pick up on that. So apparently I'm thinking that the Contessa just wants to like rub her girl sexy times in Dante's face. Like that was the reason for this whole little scene, because she clearly isn't wanting Dante to make out with her because she's throwing knives at him, and like already clearly Yelena has like started. She's like not wearing her top.
They're on it.
But I mean, they're already in it, right?
They're not trying to seduce Dante at all.
No. I think she's trying to rub it in his face. I'm making out with this hot woman. I don't need you anymore.
I see.
Okay. And fair. Dante valiantly, this is adorable, tries to get undressed really quickly and join in the fun, but he's too late and the Contessa tells him to dim the light on his way out.
Burn.
Yeah. And Dante exits to find the contortionist snaking through a suspiciously large air vent to peek in at the ladies.
Aren't they always?
And Dante rightly pulls him out of his peeping Tom perch and punches him in the face.
Mm-hmm.
Good job.
Yep.
And then Dante, we get this shot of Dante sadly sauntering down the hall past all the goons strung up in a bunch.
Presumably by the tarantula. Presumably they were tied up after the confrontation previously.
Yeah. Hanging from the ceiling, right? Mm-hmm. He doesn't help them. He just walks on by. And then he gets emo out on the balcony.
Remembering people who he's lost.
Yeah, we see a flash over his head of all the irregulars and Andreas.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he talks to the Crest about how he thinks he should have died in the war.
Mm.
Sometimes I think I did, at least the parts of me worth a damn.
Fair.
It's rough. Yep. He's having a rough time.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly, a murderous scream rings out, and Dante throws himself into action, literally, like free diving. You were talking about how he just hurls himself into space. He just free dives down the front of the fortress.
All these magical flagpoles are just sticking out everywhere.
He just swims off a series of flagpoles.
Who knows?
And then crashes into the Contessa and Yelena's sexy room to find Yelena dead on the bed and the tarantula holding Contessa by the throat. And we just have to pause for a minute here and say, boo, we killed the gay person.
True.
Okay? Bury your gaze is one of my least favorite
tropes. It's true.
And if you want to read up on Bury Your Gaze, Autostraddle has a great article about all 225 dead lesbian and bisexual characters on TV and how they died. They have a big long list.
Mm-hmm.
So just in case you think I'm just like being, you know, on my soapbox, this is a real thing. It happens way too often. It started in like 19th century literature where it was like to titillate readers, they'd have these pulpy books about women like kind of acting gay or men kind of acting a little gay. And then they would always die at the end because they had to show that the lifestyle led nowhere good. So unfortunately, we see stories not real. I mean, this was obviously not intentional. It happens unintentionally a lot. People don't realize that they're sort of embedded to do this.
Yeah, I'm sure Robbie was unaware of that trope.
Oh, most people
would not have.
Oh no, I don't think so at all.
If he'd known.
I mean, people do it all the time. It happened on Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We all love Buffy,
that's true,
and they did it.
Yeah.
Right, and that's years later.
Tara,
so you know exactly. R.I.P. Tara. So Dante then begins fighting Tarantula Gans while the escapologist just escapes, legs it, and the Crest tells Dante to target Gans's arachnoid exoskeleton with his bio blades. And so he, like, fries their motherboard or something?
I think he chops off a limb.
Does he?
Yeah, something chops off. Anyway, I don't know. It's a little unclear. I'm not well impressed with myself here.
There are a couple of moments where I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, no,
that's one of
great.
Them.
Not great.
And the Contessa says a lot of out-of-character stuff about Dante being a hero and, like, knowing he'd come back for her. Just like, okay.
Yeah, I'm suggesting she's probably being manipulative.
Yeah, I guess that's what that would be. Because it certainly seems out of character. Meanwhile, the tarantula isn't down for the count yet. He blasts Dante with a webbing gun and sends him crashing out of the window. Again, Dante's defenestrating. But he manages to snag his shirt on another set of flagpoles below the first set of flagpoles. And he's hanging on for dear life over the rocky cliffs the fortress sits upon, and you can see sort of the turbulent waters below. And the tarantula pursues Dante, sort of crawling down the side of the building, and tells him that Dante lets himself be controlled by the female of the species, and that he avoids the sickly pleasures of the flesh.
Okay.
Oh, great, another incel.
Yeah.
The tarantula and Dante tussle on the flagpoles. He really owes so much to the god of flagpoles, Dante. Like, he really needs to build a shrine to, like, the flagpole. He manages to tear the eye out of the tarantula before, I guess, this was the other part where I wasn't quite sure what was happening. He cuts the metal spider legs sort of out from underneath him, is I guess what's happening
chopping
here.
Chopping them off at the back.
Chopping them off.
The guy turns around and he chops his legs off at the back and then kicks him off.
And sends him down
the side of the fortress.
Kicks him off the flagpole and sends him down the side of the fortress to the cliffs and the water below.
And then we get some kind of touching romantic moment, but not quite.
Yes. Really. Back inside the fortress, the Contessa emotionally tells Dante that she's a fool for not appreciating him more, as he clearly would have died for her. And they make out! Dante gets some. I'm happy for him.
Well, fine, sure.
It's good.
Okay.
She's a little vulnerable here. They get to have a little vulnerable nookie. I'm into it.
Good.
Yeah, it's nice.
Good.
Meanwhile, at the ground floor of the fortress, the escapologist is like, forget this. No money is worth this BS. And he
runs... I mean, I presume that the sex between Dante and the Contessa is amazing. Otherwise,
why would
he keep falling for this every single time?
Yeah, definitely. He's got to have his brain being manipulated there by some endorphins.
Yeah,
I would think so.
Anyway, we got a Luther Emanuel.
Yes, so the escapologist runs into creepy Luther hanging out by the entrance of the fortress, and he's sort of creepily, confidently smoking a cigar of some kind, a cigarillo maybe.
Yeah, a cigarillo.
Yeah, and tells the escapologist to run, again, his line, run.
Because.
Which he does. And he makes it a good distance before seeing he somehow run right back to Luther in the entrance to the fortress.
It's almost as if someone's playing mind games.
So I was like, can he bend space?
I think he can bend perception.
Oh, okay, perception. So he thinks he's running straight, but he's actually running a circle. Okay. Okay, got it. Because I was confused about the limits of his powers.
Yep.
Okay, then Luther does...
It's never specified.
Okay. Then Luther does kind of a Stranger Things season 4 and raises the contortionist dude up in the air with his powers and sort of contorts him. Looks like he's contorting him to death, right? It's like bad. And then the next morning, Papa Yeltsin finally makes it in person to the fortress and congratulates Dante on 3 of his heist members being dead or disappeared. And the Contessa agrees, saying they'll financially benefit from their misfortune. Just then, Papa says the buyer of the Romanov jewels has arrived as a Ravencore airship pulls up. What's this ship called again, this style of ship?
Some kind of Ravencore battleship. I don't know.
The Strikehawk or the Strikehawk?
No, the Strikehawk's a little one.
Okay.
It says Bellerophon on it, which I think is a reference to the Forbidden Planet.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Bellerophon, what does it mean?
Yeah, I think it's a reference to Forbidden Planet, because I think Bellerophon was the original ship that landed with the colonists.
Oh, okay.
I think.
Well, anyway, the ship arrives by air over the fortress's helipad, and I think, oh, it's so cute. They're still using H-pads in 2671.
Yeah.
Seems quaint.
Kind of wonkily drawn, too. Never mind.
Oh, you're not liking your lettering there.
I don't like lettering.
Yeah, I know.
Hand lettering is my folly. It's where I come crashing to the ground.
Yeah. So the ship arrives over the fortress and announces that they're there to capture Dante, essentially.
Looks like Papa's got a brand new bag. Treachery!
Yes!
Robbie's been saving up that line for like 5 years with this stage.
That's the whole reason this comic was written.
Yep.
The Contessa and Dante are pissed, and Dante punches Papa for his treachery, and Papa fires at Dante, and the Contessa
apologizes. This isn't the kind of backstabbing you're normally known for.
I'm getting there.
Sorry, okay.
The Contessa is apologizing for having to double-cross them while he's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a few digs here at Papa's sexuality that I don't like.
Yes.
That's not the backstabbing you're known for. It makes me very uncomfortable, as does Papa's line about bullets not being what he wants to pump into Dante.
Mm-hmm.
It's all just a little, like, stereotypically gay, male, sexually aggressive sort of thing. And the double-crossing queer character, also a trope.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's not too, too bad. It's just like, sort of like a little bit of a fly in my ointment.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, the Contessa throws a well-aimed knife and cuts through the webbing holding the pack of goons aloft. Remember them? Mm-hmm. They're all tied up on the ceiling there.
Of course, conveniently just above Papa.
Conveniently above Papa. They come crashing down on Papa.
Mm-hmm.
And Dante and the Contessa then make for the Skyhawk transporter, where she's apparently absconded all the jewels. And then they run into the contorted contortionist begging for help to be freed. So he's still alive and bouncing around in a ball. And Captain Luther saunters in, smoking threateningly, and says, "We meet again, Dante." Apparently they met on the Arkwright Britannia. That's the thing you were talking about before, the reference. But have we seen this guy before? We've just heard him mentioned.
Well, his name's like, yeah.
I don't know if we've seen him before.
Britannia Intelligence. I think I don't know. Maybe.
Okay,
I think maybe
someone can no-prize us. Tell us if we've met him before.
I suspect he was mentioned somewhere before.
Because I want to know if we actually saw him, not just like his name dropped.
Anyway. Don't remember.
So,
I like this. This is the joke. Like, kind of Arkwright, wasn't it? Britannia Intelligence. Luther Emmanuel, thief. So it's like we're referencing Luther Arkwright.
I see. So Dante's. I see.
Yeah. So we're
Dante's mentioning the source.
Just in case you didn't get the reference.
In case you didn't get that one for the cheap seats.
Yes.
So he also tells the group that he psionically pushed Papa to betray them. So Papa's redeemed a bit.
Papa gets off with it.
Yes, he does. And then throws Dante back against a wall. Luther does, against a wall of swords with his mind. And he tells the Contessa she needs to think of ways to win his favor because she can't escape him. So he mentioned non-consensual sex. This guy's going to get it. You know he's dead.
He's going dead.
He's definitely
going
to die.
He's going to die.
You can't mention that and get away with it in a Dante comic. It doesn't happen. We have 100% hit rate on anyone who talks about non-consensual sex.
For some reason, Papa's got a room full of medieval weaponry.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, as one does. Luther lifts all those conveniently placed swords on the wall by Dante and sends them flying toward Nikolai, who's ready with his bio blades, and he deftly deflects all 20 projectiles. You had to draw all of them, Simon. I counted. There are 20 there.
Right.
All different.
This is a scene we did before. This is the thing that Robbie likes because it's in Shimura as well, where Shimura basically cuts down a storm of arrows which are heading towards him, and he hacks them out of the sky with his swords. So basically Dante does the same gag.
Well, I'm going to say it looks fabulous.
Yeah.
Did a great job here with this motion and with the sort of the way that some of the blades and the wooden shafts that the axes are on and stuff are in the foreground. And it looks great.
Thank you.
Yes, very well done.
There's a lot of work.
I bet it was. Yeah. That must have been really hard to get right.
Yeah, and all the swords have to look different as well.
Yeah, one of the things you're really good at.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're very kind.
No, I'm not kind. It's just accurate. Take the compliment.
No.
No, you can't make me.
Can't do it. Anyway.
So then he psionically lifts the huntsman and aims it at Dante and fires it. And of course, our Dante is very confident.
Yeah.
As the huntsman boomerangs its ammo back on any shooter that isn't Dante. I don't know if Robbie thought maybe we forgot that. None of us did.
Everyone else does.
Everyone in the comic does. Well, he may not have known. I mean, he did know. He was like the huntsman, this weapon, but he didn't know that part. So just as Dante is celebrating the death of the prick, right?
Mm-hmm.
The impatient Ravencore ship starts blasting out the top of the fortress, mm-hmm. right? That's still up there, remember?
Yeah.
Dante runs to the hangar deck and finds the Contessa in her Skyhawk making to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And Dante jumps aboard, but the ship takes damage from the Ravencore blasting it from behind and is rendered flightless, teetering on the edge of the cliffs.
Yep.
But the Crest informs Dante that the only thing weighing the ship down to keep it from, like, capsizing over the edge of the cliff mm-hmm. to the rocky waters below is the weight of the Romanov jewels.
Yep.
And Dante then gets a smart. His brain starts to work again, and he deduces that the Contessa killed Yelena and set up the team members to fight and kill each other so that the treasure would be left for her.
Which is, explains her whole act.
Her whole act.
Yeah.
The Contessa admits this and says she'd never die for anyone or anything, and that Dante would, implying this is his weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, Dante should go down with the ship as well, she thinks.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Dante's line here. What the hell? I was thinking of dumping you anyway. And she's like, no, you weren't, emo Dante. But he should feel reassured because he got closer to her than anyone in a long time. So he can think
You're
of that.
You're too old to be cool, Nikolai. Playtime's yes. over.
That's definitely in my notes here.
Thanks.
He says he's too cool to kill. She says he's too old to be cool.
Mm.
And flies a chess horse out of the Skyhawk with the jewels, leaving the ship destabilized, and it crashes off the side of a cliff.
Yeah.
And the Crest gets in a, your taste in women sometimes leaves a lot to be desired, before the yes. ship explodes.
Right.
Which we're meant to think Dante's in that ship and now he's dead.
Yeah. So this is reference to the end of The Italian Job, of course.
Mm.
Which famously ends on the bus hanging off the edge of a cliff,
yes.
and Michael Caine saying, hold on, I've got an idea. And then it rolls the credits, which is one of the great endings in cinema history.
It's such a good movie, The Italian Job.
Such a good movie.
We get a line here, an Oscar Wilde quote, mm-hmm. I could resist everything except temptation.
Yes.
Which is actually a magnet on our fridge.
Is it?
Yes, we have a bunch of Oscar Wilde quote magnets.
Oh, yeah, we do. That's
yes.
true. Yeah, I forgot
yes.
about that. They've been there so long,
they've
I've completely
there a long
forgot
time.
All about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they sort of mm-hmm. live in the background.
So I think this around this time that Nikolai Dante was nominated and won Best Character at the Eagle Awards.
Oh, really?
Because this cover...
The next cover, we're reading the Hachette book,
yeah,
right? And so the next page after the end of the Romanov job in the Hachette
yeah,
book is an image of Dante cuddling some women's.
You're two women
and a
brandy glass
and
he's smiling. And that was the cover that was drawn to celebrate the fact that Dante had won Best Character at the Eagle Awards that year. First, I think one of the very few times that the Judge Dredd hadn't won it. So we were very pleased about that.
Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were trying to find that award
mm-hmm.
and we could not find it.
Well, it's hard to get information about these things because
yeah.
the people involved or not. I mean, I don't know what happened to the... I think it was lost in a move or something.
Yeah.
Anyway. So I was living in Tanzania at the time, which is one of the girls here is obviously African.
Ah, I see.
I thought that was...
Drawing what you know.
Yeah.
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 Drawing what's around you.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of based on someone I knew at the time.
Huh.
That was the time. And I think at this point, background, I think Robbie and I thought... kind of mutually agreed. I visited Robbie in London at that time, and we agreed that we were kind of going to give a rest for a while.
Oh, you're going to give Dante a rest
yes.
for a while.
So I am off Dante for the next while, and I did other things.
What did you do?
I don't remember. What did I do? I think I did Family with Rob Williams in that period.
I was going to say, this is going to be around like 2001-ish. 2001-ish.
I don't specifically remember. There was lots of bits and pieces of stuff I was doing at the time. And I was kind of not really drawing much anyway because I was living in Tanzania and enjoying myself.
Yeah.
Frankly.
You're just kind of enjoying your new environment. Yeah. And.
Well, there wasn't really so much of an onus to make money at the
right.
time because things were so cheap. Living was so
you
cheap
were well
there.
Set
and
up
I could,
there,
yeah,
yeah.
And I could just kind of
yeah.
chill out and draw things. I did a few sort of like, I did a few jobs for myself at the time.
Yeah.
I did a six-page story called Seke, which is I'll put up on the website at some point.
Oh my God, I've never even heard of this. What?
You've not read that?
No.
Oh, okay. I'll put it up on the website.
How dare you?
It's about my life in Tanzania.
Oh, wait. Is that the one where it talks about, like, the next people that moved in after
yes.
you weren't good
yeah,
to the
yeah,
local
yeah,
people?
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've read that. That
yeah.
is good.
No,
it is good. You should put it on the website.
I'll
That's
put it
a good
on the
comment.
Website. It's, it was...
Yeah.
done a long time ago. I did a bunch of other stuff. But anyway, that was my life at the time. And we thought that Dante needed a rest because we were tired of it.
You were in Tanzania.
I was in Tanzania.
I was in college.
You were in college. Yes. And I think...
Doing my best Nicolai Dante impression at the time, actually.
Were you? I'm sure you were. Swashbuckling your way through New Paltz.
As one does.
I think... Where did we pick? I don't remember. There's a whole bunch of Dante to come, which is all drawn by Burns.
Yeah, we're
sometime
hitting the
later.
Big Burns period.
Yeah, and I was off it for a while.
All right.
So anyway, we will get to that.
We will
next.
Get there. So, my goodness, we are closing the book on Dante for today.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll be back next week with Hell and High Water.
Hell.
Which I think might have to be in two parts because it's like 10 progs.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah. This one was 8.
Yeah.
And that one's like 10 progs and it looks like a lot's going to happen. So it may be a part 1 and 2. We'll see.
Mm-hmm.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast. And if so, please subscribe to it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Leave us ratings and reviews wherever you can.
It helps.
Yeah, it helps. And tell your friends. You can follow us on Twitter at PodTGDR. You can follow us on Instagram, also at PodTGDR. Please do join our Facebook community. We have new people joining all the time.
We do.
And that is a really nice little spot to talk to folks.
We get a lot of good feedback from there.
We do. We really enjoy all of the feedback we get. We'll probably
Oh, thank you for
that.
The correction on my Stainless Steel Rat.
That
was not, in fact, written by T.B. Grover or John Wagner. It was written by Kelvin Gosnell.
That was told to us by...
Credit where credit's
due. Hold on. McCall Slow Simic.
Simic? Yeah.
S-M-Y-C-Z.
Okay. I don't know you. We have not interacted before, but
my
welcome.
Apologies if I pronounce that
and thanks
wrong.
For the correction. It's
yes, thank you for
correct.
That.
I have never met Kelvin Gosnell. I really feel I'm missing something here because he's one of the...
He's still alive?
I don't know. I have no information about that. I haven't heard that he died.
Kelvin Gosnell.
He's one of the sort of key figures of the early progs. And just as a fan, I would love to meet him one day.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway.
Yes, thank you for that correction.
Corrections. Happy to be corrected because my knowledge is pathetic.
I think he's still alive, sir.
Is he?
Looks like he's 72.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Well, I look forward to meeting him at the next gathering.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
Exciting.
Good to know.
Good to know these things. And it's important to take the time to meet these folks.
I know.
We're all getting older.
Now's
the time.
Absolutely.
So please join us on the Facebook community. Leave your comments. We love reading what you have to say. This is a book club, so share your thoughts as we move along.
Yes, please.
And let us know if you don't want us to use it in a future broadcast, because otherwise we love to feature your
free
stuff.
Free content.
And listener feedback. So follow us wherever you like. Let us know what you think of the podcast, of Dante Comics, whatever is on your mind. I'm Edie.
And I'm Simon.
And we will catch you next time.
Bye.